Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday evening, the title of our message is He Prepares a Table. We continue our sermon series based on the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah's book has been the basis for our Wednesday midweek services, will be for tonight, tomorrow, and also Easter Sunday. Our text tonight from Isaiah 49, 9 and 10. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on bare heights, and they shall never hunger nor thirst. When was the last time you offered this commentary on your own life? I am deader than a doornail. I'm a lost cause. I'm history. I'm toast. Stick a fork in me. I'm done. It's time to throw in the towel. Or my favorite, Mighty Casey has struck out. The Israelites felt like this in the dark days of their Babylonian exile. Isaiah, in his prophecy, is speaking to a lost cause. You see, Isaiah knew the days had come when Israel would have no temple, no Jerusalem, no Davidic king, no commercial or political significance any longer, no hope. Mighty Casey had struck out. Or to use the words from Psalm 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and we wept as we remembered Zion. In Isaiah chapter 49, 9 to 12, the message of redemption announces that the servant of the Lord will come and release the prisoners in exile. He will gather them from all directions. And even though the word shepherd isn't used in the text, the words graze, pasture, lead, and guide make it clear that this servant is a good shepherd indeed. He leads his flock to find food on barren heights, and in the hottest of weather, he provides for them unlimited water. The servant has the ability to tend to a large number of sheep, drawn from great distances. He even promises in tonight's sermon text, they, that is my sheep, will neither hunger nor thirst. Now, let me tell you something you already know. Sheep are not intimidating creatures. The CFL, the Canadian Football League, has teams called the BC Lions. You maybe heard of them. Or the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Now, I'm not a prophet, but I guess there will probably never be a CFL team called the Lethbridge Lambs or the Saskatoon Sheep. What would the cheerleaders say? If they had cheerleaders, what would they say? Fleece them, fleece them. Bah, bah, bah. Sheep are not intimidating creatures. In fact, sheep are dumb. They graze on the same pasture land on a hill until that hill turns to a desert waste, polluted with disease. Sheep bend down to drink water out of a pool till their wool gets so heavy with water they fall in the water and drown because they can't swim. We aren't like that, are we? Sheep are dirty. Their wool is like a magnet. It attracts mud and manure and maggots. It becomes caked with dirt and decay and disease. Sheep absorb every particle of filth all around them. We're not like that, are we? Sheep are defenseless. When they turn over on their backs to rest, they can't even get up. So coyotes and cougars know that a resting sheep, pardon the pun, is really a sitting duck. But we aren't like that, are we? Israel had been just like that. So it was time for them to throw in the towel. The nation of Israel was toast. The Babylonian emperor Nebuchadnezzar was the exterminator. The towel was thrown in 587 BC because they had all been like sheep. They were dumb. Isaiah verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3 says this: the ox knows its master, the donkey knows its owner, but my people Israel doesn't know me. They don't understand. The Israelites were dirty. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And the people were defenseless. Isaiah 1:6 says, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores. But we're not like that, are we? We're just like that, aren't we? Isaiah 53, verse 6 makes it so clear. All we like sheep have gone astray, says the prophet. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And what's the result? We sing the song of Psalm 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. You and I are living testimonies of lost causes, of all too often being spiritually deader than a doornail. We are exiled as well, so far from our Father's will and our Father's ways, so far from bearing each other's pains and burdens, so far from our spouses, from our children, from our sisters and brothers. Mighty Casey has struck out. So what's a good shepherd to do? The good shepherd has only one option: to become a lamb. But not any ordinary lamb. Isaiah 7 says, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9 says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is no ordinary lamb. Isaiah 53, verse 7 says, he is like a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, he would not open his mouth. On Maundy Thursday, the night we're remembering tonight, events begin to unfold that would not lead Jesus, our shepherd, who became a lamb, would not lead him to green pastures. As Jesus, the Lamb of God, sat in that upper room with his disciples, he transformed that ancient Passover meal into something much greater. He told them, and he tells us tonight, that with that bread and wine, he gives us his body and blood, the same body and blood he would tell his disciples that would be shed and broken the next day on the cross. And soon, spit and blood would cake his precious face. There would be no quiet waters for him. In fact, there would be no waters. His lips would be cracked and swollen, his throat parched dry in the hot Palestinian sun. He would soon pass through the valley of the shadow of death as pain overwhelmed his crucified hands and feet. there would be no rod or staff to comfort him. His cup would overflow all right, but overflow with the wrath of Almighty God as he bore the sins of the world and laid his precious life down to pay for your sins and mine. Surely goodness and mercy would almost completely disappear as he took your place and mine on that cruel, cruel cross. Reflecting on this great love of the shepherd who became a lamb, St. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The shepherd became a lamb, that he might sacrifice himself so that we would have our every need met in this life and for eternity. This is why we have the promise from the prophet Isaiah, and my sheep shall never hunger nor thirst. Now Jesus' words were very clear to those disciples on that first Monday, Thursday evening in the upper room. As he blessed their bread and wine, he declared, this is my body. This is my blood, broken and shed for the forgiveness of sins. The shepherd quenches our thirst and our hunger with his body and his blood, in, with, and under the bread and wine. So when we come to this table, when we come to this altar, in this place, we receive forgiveness, mercy, and salvation. We receive the very promise of God that he is with us and that he is for us. The gifts on this table declare our sins are forgiven. Our heaven is certain. Because of these gifts in the Holy Supper, we will never hunger or thirst again. Look, he prepares a table tonight, tomorrow, and forever. When you, sheep, when you, children of Israel, are lost and exiled, Jesus, your shepherd, leaves the other 99 and comes looking just for you. When you are confused by the voices of the devil and the evil world around you, he calls you by name, and you know his voice. When you are dirty and filled with the filth of sin, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is your shepherd who gathers you safe into his arms until you are better. He holds you until you can live with the hurt. And he carries you next to his heart forever. Oh, he prepares a table, indeed, in the name of Jesus. Amen.